David Sedaris first shared his tale 26 years ago about the Christmas seasons. He worked as one of Santa's helpers, Crumpet the Elf, at Macy's in New York's Herald Square.
This afternoon, I sat in the 8th floor Santaland office and was told,
Congratulations, Mr. Sedaris. You're an elf.
That's Rosemary Davis. She's the accessioning archivist at Yale's Beinecke Rare Book and Manuscript Library. She's reading from a draft of the Santaland Diaries that's on display there, alongside Macy's official guide to proper elf behavior. Yale recently purchased David Sedaris's archive, which includes everything from early drafts of his writing to reading comprehension homework from elementary school. So far, the archive contains material from Sedaris's pre-fame years, and despite telling the New York Times that he cringes thinking about people reading these things, he also says he sees an upside. There's no way I could have ever gotten into a place like Yale, he told the paper, so it thrills me that horrible first drafts of stories I wrote when I was stoned got into an Ivy League school. I recently visited the library to talk to Rosemary Davis and Timothy Young, who's the curator for Modern Books and Manuscripts. Young says a few years ago they began exploring the personal essay. He convinced the writer and humorist David Rakoff to bring his archive to the Beinecke shortly before Rakoff died of cancer at the age of 47.
He finally said yes, because actually he was very ill. I didn't know at the time. And he said, okay, I'm thinking about my papers coming to Beinecke. And we were able to bring in his papers shortly before he passed. And I was talking with my colleagues, and they say, well, who's next? I said, well, David Sedaris would be next. One is because his profile is so strong, but also he was friends of Rakoff. He worked with him in the Talent family. So the conversation and the approach to David Sedaris sort of was natural, and I think that maybe that connection helped a little bit to open the door to a conversation. When I talked to him about his papers and his writings and found that he actually really had this interesting sort of like, you know, prehistory as a performer, as an artist, as a collagist, I knew that there was this really interesting, deeper story about his development, his decades-long development for overnight success. And it turned out he had an archive.
So what's in the archive?
There are all kinds of things. I think it's predominantly his work product. So we have early versions of almost all of his collections of essays, just different drafts and handwritten notes about it. One book is the book that he made in second grade. It was a gift for his mother. And so it includes pictures of himself and other students from a second grade class, but then also him just describing a birthday party that he had, a holiday celebration that he had, his relationship with this teacher. So even at a very early age, you're seeing him kind of describe these connections that he's making with people and the environment that he's living in.
What do these tell you about him as a writer?
Well, this is a generalization, but writers write. I mean, you write your entire life. Instead of saying, I'm going to be a writer, you just do it. And the same thing with artists. You're sketching. You're making collages. You just have this impulse. And it just shows the flow and the development over time. Not everybody sort of hits it when they're 20 years old and gets a writing contract. I'm actually sort of glad that his renown came later, because I think that his writing style and performance style was so well refined and sort of thought through that when he emerged on NPR in 1992, it was just almost perfect.
Yeah, it was fully formed. Yeah. I think with all these literary archives and with Sedaris, of course, it's just, like Tim said, kind of seeing how they've always been working at it. So being able to kind of trace that path that they took and all the diversions, but how they ultimately kept on leading back to things, it's always really, really fascinating to kind of get inside their head and see what they tried, see what they didn't like, what they felt were a failure, what they felt was an immediate success or things like that. Just seeing that path is always, it's just one of the most fascinating things.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure being here.
Timothy Young and Rosemary Davis from the Beinecke Rare Book and Manuscript Library at Yale University. I'm Diane Orson.